Okay. Mr. Romar Smith. Yes. My brother from another mother. How are you doing this morning?
I can't complain. I'm here. It's a good day.
It's a good day. Now, when I picked you up this morning, and we was on the first thing you talked about, first thing you said, have you ever seen a number one team fall so quick?
In college basketball? No. It shocked me. Like, you was number one to start the off preseason, number one, and within a week you lose three games, and you go from 1-18 and possibly out the rankings when they come out this week.
And that's just unfortunate, because I like UNC. I used to be a UNC fan, but I ain't had the blood pressure for it after a while. So I just became a free agent in most sports except for baseball and football, but we're going to get into that
and
later.
I ain't going to hold that too much against them because it's still early in the year. And you can see what they did starting out the gate.
But same way
last year ended up in the
championship. They always lose these tournaments. I call them preseason tournaments. They don't really start balling until January and February. But UNC and Duke, they don't really win these so-called.
Duke been firing where early in the year so far. They've been good out the gate.
No, but it took a couple of L's too.
Not as many.
Well, remember like last Sunday, remember when I said on there, first the Fat Boys break up, then Duke and UNC lost on the same day. So, that combination does not happen very often.
But no, it does. The Cavaliers looking real good.
Oh yes.
And the coach don't think it's one of his best teams, surprisingly.
And it's still early, but I just hope UVA gets stronger. They undefeated.
Yeah.
Number three in the nation right now.
The men and the women, right?
Know about the women.
I don't know about the women.
I ain't checked for the women since Don Staley played for them.
I think the women undefeated too. I believe so.
That is good money.
That's a good basketball program we got there in Charlottesville. I'm up there all the time due to the nature of my job. And I tell you one thing, I'd rather stay in Richmond because driving up there, the traffic is just
mayhem.
It's beyond mayhem. See, they got a lot of everything is single lane up there. Now, you know, we struggle around here with the two-lane traffic. It is single lane up there around those colleges and campuses because not only got UVA, I think you got Hampton, Sydney up there and a couple of other ones that surrounded it. And man, it's chaos. It is chaos between 12. You're not getting around there. You are literally better off walking. You're literally better off walking, and the crosswalk, the pedestrians have the right of way up there. It was like New York traffic in those little small streets up there. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. So guys, let's take the temperature of the landscape of the NBA. Now we saw something that was totally amazing, very uncharacteristic. I am on the Milwaukee Bucks bandwagon. I'm not going to lie to y'all about that. I am on the Milwaukee Bucks bandwagon, but I'm not a diehard fan of them. So I'm not heartbroken when they lose, but I am rooting for them. And Chris Middleton had his first game back and they end up taking the L to amazingly the Los Angeles Lakers. Yo, Mark, did you see that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I saw the highlights of it. I was actually at work, but you know, Anthony Davis, I gotta give street clothes credit. He went at it with Giannis last night. And, they showed up. They showed up. Giannis had no help. You know, Bobby Portis gained about 18, but Chris Middleton, I know he's just getting back, but AD showed up last night. I was really surprised.
Yeah, AD, Anthony Davis, Anthony street clothes Davis. This is very early in the season, and like you said, a healthy Anthony Davis is a dangerous Anthony Davis, but how often are we going to see this?
As long as he stay healthy.
Yeah, exactly. How long can we count on that? How long can we count on this cohesion from the Los Angeles Lakers? Now, you see how good they can be. Hey. It's the consistency for me, guys.
Yeah, but
that's the thing.
Guess who's been playing real consistent these since this little streak of them putting games together and winning them.
Oh, one
guy that caught all the heat early in the season.
The guy they're paying $47 million to.
That's okay. He's playing ball. He's playing good ball. He had a game last night with 11 assists and no turnovers. And we all know he is the king of turnovers.
That's right.
Absolutely. So, with that being said, can we give Darvin Ham a couple of flowers or some roses a little bit? You know, because I do believe with...
I give them flowers to the king because he's really the coach on and off the court.
I'm gonna tell you why. Now, I said last year the problem with Russell Westbrook was that he was moving too fast. Now, you know, he's like a freight train, but he was definitely out of control. That's why he has so many turnovers. And then also with him starting and $47 million, there was a lot of pressure on him. I'm not giving any excuses at all, but like I said, he had no turnovers last night. When's the last time you seen that? All right. And he had, he was rebounding. He was playing. Russell Westbrook was playing under control. The problem was Russell Westbrook had not been playing under control before. And look, I'm going to tell you, the Lakers played like, I said, whoa, what team is this? Where did these cats come from? They were balling. That was no fluke last night. That was no fluke. Now, also, if you notice, they've been hitting some outside shots.
Yes, I saw a couple of those.
All right. Everything was clicking last night. So, yeah, I'm going to give Ham a little credit, too, because he's probably one of the most patient coaches I've ever seen in my life, right? And look like they're moving on. They needed that game last night more than Milwaukee did.
Man, I hear what you're saying, JB, but a lot of that pressure is just on everybody that's dealing in that organization because of the name that's on that jersey and what they have done as an organization. They almost like expect the championship all the time.
But look, I understand that, but see, I tell you why more pressure, and look, if you're a pro, you're supposed to be able to handle the pressure. So I'm not making any excuses. But what I'm saying is a lot of players put pressure on themselves. Russell Westbrook came to the Lakers and said, well, look, I've got to be Mr. King, the triple-double king. I've got to come here and show. And this guy was running. Look here. The guy was running 90 miles an hour, and he wasn't under control. Russell Westbrook slowed his game down. Have you guys noticed that? He slowed the game down, okay, so his physicality could catch up with his brain, or his brain could catch up with the physicality. Okay, he was running past his brain.
I think it's more of two things. Number one, isn't he still coming off the bench?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one.
And he accepted that role, too.
Yes, because his role has actually been defined. All right. Coach, like I said, coaching matters.
I put it to you like this. He either accepted that role or he was going to accept himself being on the outside looking in.
Absolutely.
I feel you on
that. And I think to a certain degree, Darvin Ham said that he was going to have those kind of conversations with Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Well, not only that, but I'm going to be honest with you. That dude, he was unwilling to accept that role. And the Lakers would have, which I still wish they could somehow, but say they were able to make a trade with, say, Indiana to get
a Buddy Hield
and a Miles Turner. Chances are Indiana was going to buy Russ out. And I'm not going to say it would have been his last opportunity, but he was going to be on some very, very, very thin ice of getting back into the league.
Yeah. But Mark, would you agree, though, he has slowed his game down?
Well, again, I think somewhere, somebody who was not afraid to tell him the truth, mm-hmm. which it could have been Darvin Ham, could have been a family member, I don't know, but somebody sat down and said, dude, number one, you're getting $47 million. Number two, you start becoming a malcontent, and nobody is going to want to touch you because they're going to feel like you will be a cancer in your locker room. You're in, you know, you can't accept that maybe you are somewhat on the decline. I'm not saying, because I've always thought that he played off of sheer athletic ability. I never thought he was a point guard. I have never thought that. Even when he was at Oklahoma City, I said, this dude, realistically, he's a shooting guard, but the problem was he's 6'3".
That's, I mean,
he, in my opinion, was always a shooting guard. To some point, as good as all those triple-doubles and things look, they did an injustice to him by putting him in the mindset of him thinking he was a point guard.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Hey, Romar has a question for you.
No. Well, Mark, in the defense of what you said about him being a shooting guard type of player, if you remember, when he was at UCLA, his natural position at UCLA was a two guard. They transitioned him into a point guard when he got drafted into the league. So, he was the two guard in college. He was a shooting guard at UCLA.
And I guess, yeah, no, I agree with you.
And with that mentality of having a scores first mentality, over the years it then caught up with him.
Yeah, because he was a shooting guard that couldn't shoot.
It's kind of hard, but it's kind of hard to try to transition somebody that was always looked at the score. Now you want me to run an offense.
Let me just say,
if you looked at him last night, he can run an offense.
I mean, yeah, he can, but he still has that mentality of score first.
It's changed. It has absolutely changed because that wasn't it last night. If you looked at
He's still running the same speed, but check this out.
No.
He still runs the same speed, but like I said, his role has been defined.
His role has been defined, but
so instead of running up, instead of running up the floor, one look, go to the basket. No, now he's going and he looks like he's actually running a play.
I got my role as being a $47 million man that comes off the bench.
Let me tell you why I'm gonna have to disagree with you, Mio. He's cool, not running the same speed because he had no turnovers. When he runs full speed, man, the guy turns the ball over all the time. He slowed it down. I didn't say he slowed all the way slow, but he slowed it down.
Here's the issue. You know, I don't know, and this is my opinion. My man was right. At UCLA, Russ was a shooting guard. The problem with Russ is that when he got to OKC, and I'll be the first to tell you, when I first started watching them, on League Pass, when, you know, young Kevin Durant, they was running gun. And in actuality, they had no discipline, as far as how they, you know, how they played. The big problem to me with Russ was he got so used to being able to be in that running gun system, and realistically, he was so athletic. There was no, how can I put it? If he had a bad shooting night, he just had it, whatever. It makes me wonder, the big mistake he may have made is I don't think he ever worked on his shot, because I don't think he felt like he had to.
That's a good point there too. That's an excellent point.
I think the thing with him was he was so athletic that he didn't think. And that's why at that height, it can be weird. But once you lose that certain step or you lose that spring, hey man, everything else starts to go because he couldn't rely back on a jump shot. Or like I was saying, on other teams, when he was at OKC, you had young dudes who could run the floor with him. Now you're in a position where you, in LA, hey man, LeBron ain't running the floor like that no more. And he didn't make any adjustments. Last night for him to have a game where he had no turnovers to where, you know, he had, I think, 18 or something like that.
Yeah.
He had to come to the realization. Trust me, when you got all these shows on First Take and Skip and Shannon and all, these dudes hear this stuff. At some point, somebody had to sit with him and say, hey man, look, either you adapt to what's happening or you are going to be on the outside looking in. And once you get LeBron and AD and them saying, man, I can't play with this cat, who gonna want to take a chance with playing with you? I'll be honest with you. I still don't want him to have the ball in the fourth quarter. I don't care how good he looked last night.
Did you see them big buzzer beaters?
Oh, he's had a few. Yeah. Again, I'm not taking nothing away from his ability. I mean, I think the thing people tend to forget, it's only been about 4 or 5 years ago, the dude was league MVP.
Yeah, but I think the first thing that messed him up mentally, how well he performed that year that KD left to go to Golden State.
I agree. He won the MVP.
That might have just...
That messed him up.
Yeah.
Because basically, what was being said to him is, do your thing, it's all right.
And he willed them. They had almost the same amount of wins the year before with KD without him. It's almost like what Scottie did without Jordan the following year.
Again, I will never take away the brother's talent, but I think even with
mentally
KD,
he messed up.
I think with KD, it even came to a point where KD said, "Hey, man, I can't do this." This dude gets, I mean, he's out of control. I don't know, who was it? Scottie Brooks was the coach then.
Yeah, Scott Brooks.
It sounded like he was he wasn't listening to him. And KD said, well, you know, you go ahead and do your thing. And he had that, like you said, he had a hell of a season. Where this dude, I think he almost wanted to be in a position where he was like, you know what, I'm going to show him, I can average a triple-double, which he did. I respect, he's done it a lot. The thing I think people tend to forget, when KD was there, and William, I'm pretty sure you can remember this. When the Lakers would have to play them, or Golden State would have to play them in the playoffs, especially in the Western Conference Finals. Hey, when they had OKC, OKC could be up by 15 going in the fourth quarter. And my mindset was, Russ is going to mess this up at some point because he can't help himself.
Say all that because KD didn't show up neither.
Well, when you can't make a layup, which I don't know if you remember that game 7, whatever it was in the fourth quarter, this cat start missing layups. I mean, the total blame ain't on him, but I had confidence that it was going to self-destruct. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm looking at it, I said, you know, if the Warriors can start hitting their shots in this quarter, this dude is going to do something to disrupt this game. And he started missing layups. He started making dumb turnovers. He did it all. I think the role with the Lakers, and I want to stay on here with this, is for now is where it's going to be because I still got a feeling there's going to be a trade. They just got rid of a dude the other day to open up the spot.
They
want to get rid of that money that's on the table with them. I mean, it's a smart move to make.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hey, it's the Studio W Sports page. It's your man, Mill. I got Romar Smith. Mark Daniels is online. And I got my man Kevin Harris right next to me with WB here. And we got to switch it up real quick. Hey, we got some breaking news. It seems like Deion Sanders, you know, prime time, is looking to accept the head coaching job at Colorado. Deion, it looks like he's accepting a head coaching job at Colorado. He was 26-5 at Jackson State. And just joining us today is my man CJ Richardson. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, you good, man? I see you got the cowboy hat on. You got your boy Michael Parsons on.
Well, you know when you rocking the best, you feel your best. I don't know how y'all woke up this morning, blessed and highly favored.
Yes, sir. Yes, I had my coffee in it too. So I'm gonna give you the floor real quick to greet everybody. And we just talking about talking about Deion Sanders just accepting a head coaching job at Colorado. What are your thoughts on that? And first of all, how you doing? Tell everybody how you doing.
I'm great.
But yeah,
man, I'm great.
Talk about
y'all
Deion.
Know Fridays on my nights with my grandkids because I'm at the age now where look, you got to spend that valuable time. You got to make sacrifices, and my grandkids mean everything to me. Never thought that I the way the world is today, man. I got 5 granddaughters. So other than my I got 2 sons and 5 granddaughters, but I'm saying other than being a father, being a grandfather is like the second best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I'm just putting it out there.
That's what's up.
So I'm great this morning. But Deion Sanders, hey look, man, real for real, you can go back on my page and you can already check. I told people he was gonna do that. You know, it's a progression move. Anytime you in any industry, it doesn't matter what it is, you wanna rise. You know, right. Entry level worker, you want to be the next stage. You know what I'm saying? You know, you go from sweeping the floor to I want to work the register. From the register, I want to be the assistant manager. From assistant manager, I want to be the store manager. From store manager, I want to own some stores. So this was an easy answer to this question anyway. And a lot of people should have seen it coming. See, what happens is, big time people come on, they create this persona of what they're doing while they're doing it. Knowing that there's a bigger picture. And see, the thing is, so many people are influenced by what powerful people say. They fail to see the underlying message. Everybody knows that for real, Deion Sanders' dream job was to either get an SEC coaching job or go back to Florida State and be the head coach. I mean, everybody knew that.
Yeah.
So Colorado is like, if I'm going to get a big-time D1 job, what has Colorado won? It's almost like him stepping into the same stage as Jackson State. He's in a win-win situation.
I agree.
The recruits going to come there because they want to be coached by.
Exactly. He's going to build it up.
And like you said, but if y'all notice, his biggest influence because he's been using social media a lot.
Yeah.
He uses social media a lot and uses those big time. Like he said, the big time names from other perspectives than college football. He got Rick Ross coming to games. He got a lot of entertainers and everybody coming to games. And don't forget, I believe he got the number two, he got the best player in coming out last year.
Yeah.
Out of high school.
Yep.
I guarantee you he might follow Deion to Colorado. He might
His playoff portal is just like Lincoln Riley's playoff portal from Oklahoma to USC.
Yep.
You see?
And his son and Jackson gonna follow him.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna throw this above all that. I'm gonna throw this one little caveat. It's Colorado.
But that's gonna be a real tough place to play. With that name. Like we was talking about earlier. How the Pac-12 doesn't work out with a name like Deion, guess what you do? You bring back that exposure to the Pac-12.
Yeah, and that's gonna be a real tough place to play. It's just with the high altitude. That's a little hidden advantage that he's gonna have there. Gonna have some top five-star recruits going there.
And the transfer portal is going to be off the chain.
Yes. We'll love that.
You're going to see a whole lot of them, you know, within the coming weeks and months.
I'm real happy for Deion. Now, CJ.
Yeah.
I owe you an apology, brother.
What happened?
I owe you an apology. I owe you and Rodney an apology.
What happened?
On your show a couple years ago. That was last year.
Dang.
AB's last season. I said, give me Antonio Brown over all of Dallas's receivers.
You did say that.
Uh-oh.
My bad, brother. Can I take that back?
Hey, look. At this point, that apology is accepted, man. Look, man, that boy is a straight folk.
Wow. Man.
CJ, I will say this. I'm going to admit it. He's worthy of that 88. Lamb is worthy of that 88. And they only get that number to whoever they see fit worthy of that number.
I see, but has Antonio Brown turned himself in yet?
I don't think so. Last I checked,
he was at a standoff.
He's at City's Bar and Lounge.
Yeah, he was putting that it on. he was at the City's Bar and Grill putting that it on.
That and he right there right now trying to put it on again.
They'll get out on bond, but they gonna set him down for a few minutes though.
And with him and Kanye, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot more of Donda sports. What do you guys think of that?
Man, look. See, this is for all the yay heads out there, man. Y'all keep telling us to be awoke and this man's such a genius and this, that, and the other. Man, that man is not a genius, man. He only called on his people. See, these guys are master strategists. Mm. You know, when you, I'm gonna phrase it this way, and you guys read in between the lines. When you in with the crew, you don't care about my people. Mm. Mm. But as soon as you get dropped by the crew, all of a sudden, I want my people back. You know what I'm saying? Because if I can't get the money from the top tier, and you can pay $800 for a Balenciaga, et cetera, because his clothes weren't for us. Now I'm going to start selling the same sweaters, the same fabric, same material, for $10 and $20. See, that's hypocrisy 101 to me. You still going to get millions and millions and possibly billions, but now that this group don't want me, I'm going to go with the other group. I ain't got nothing to do with that, man. I'd rather get my stuff from offline. Sheen, what the cheap store is? I'm going to go ahead and order something from Sheen. Get you a pair of suit pants with no pockets on.
Hey, to reiterate what CJ said, Kanye's biggest mistake was he forgot one of his own lyrics. He's still a nigga in the bins.
Well, you know, my attitude about it is this. You know, I think these young brothers tend to forget is as quick as they allow you to have something, they can take it away from you real quick. And in Kanye's case, I'm starting to think that brother really needs some help. Something ain't right. I mean, something ain't right. And I'm afraid that it ain't going to end well if you want to know the truth for him. This brother is going off the edge with a lot of stuff. And you know, to a point with Antonio Brown too. You know, it's weird when the system accepts you and they're willing to, you know, they allow you to make a little bit of money. When you step on their foot, they can back you up and say, hey, you tend to forget who let you in this game. And they can take a loop back from you. And to me, it seemed like with Kanye, that brother has not been the same since his mother passed away.
Been said that.
Yeah, that's it. Go ahead.
Hey, I want to say this, you know what I'm saying? I don't have as much money as Kanye. Both of my parents are deceased. And ain't much changed with me as a person, but I ain't been the same since they left. But I'm not out here doing careless things that I think I can get away with. You know what I'm saying? So some things I don't buy. Some people want to let people have built-in excuses. No pain can stop you from being a decent human being. That's just my opinion.
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you.
Well said, CJ.
I just don't feel that this dude is, I'm going to be honest with you, I just don't think it's going to end well for him. I don't know if he just feels that he's that privileged that he can say and do what he want and it's going to be what it is. I mean, if anything, you've seen how they humbled Kyrie real quick. I'm going to tell you how this worked. And I'm worried for this brother. I'm just going to be honest because I don't think it's going to end well.
Right.
And so what do you guys think about what LeBron said at the press conference the other night?
It needed to be said.
You talking about the Jerry Jones thing?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Hey, look, man, here's the deal. Okay, so it's sad that we have to fight these fights in social media. And to me, all of this is irrelevant if ain't no action behind it. And I'm tired of each battle. It's a battle after battle after battle. It's a different person after a different person, a different person. But the results are still the same. You can talk about it all you want to. You know? See, LeBron, he billionaire, right?
Yep.
Okay. His thing that would have got my attention is, okay, so Jerry Jones did this, that, and the other. I'm going to give a check for $2 million to discrimination advocacy. You know what I'm saying? So we can get some people to change this thing around. See, now you got my attention, and I know you're sincere about what you're saying. But loose words, you know, and then you tell Jerry Jones, I need you to match me or better me. See, that's a better conversation.
I agree. No,
I agree. Mm. I agree. The one thing I would have wanted to see, which I agree with LeBron. Hey, y'all asked me about everything else. How come y'all ain't asked me about this? You know, I think, to be honest with you, Jerry Jones was, what, 13, 14 years old? Hey, man, I don't know. In this society now, I guess, but once you get slapped, once you come into this world, you better watch everything you do. Because, I mean, this social media, all this, I mean, when you can pull up a picture from when I was, I'm just saying, this man 80. And you can go back in the archives and say, when he was 14, he was in Little Rock doing this.
And 14. I mean,
you gotta take a step back and say, damn. I mean, I would like for him to speak up, yeah, and explain, hey, I was a kid there at that time. I don't know. I don't promote this something. But it's one of those things where he does need to speak up. I think, you know, instead of LeBron, which I know he has the biggest platform of the, you know, the African-American athletes, I would have liked for maybe a Dak Prescott, hey, Mike Irvin, all them dudes get together and say, hey, man, we're going, just like my man said, we're going to put up this money for this. But, and Jerry, we challenging you to match it to show your loyalty to this. Hey, that was a kid thing. This ain't who you really are.
Also, let me add this. Okay, so the question was LeBron speaking on why, asking why the reporters don't ask him about Jerry Jones. That was the question, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my answer. Okay, first of all, they asked him about Kyrie because he's a former teammate and he plays in the same league that he does.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a counter question. When was the last time they asked LeBron something about a football owner?
You know, well, I'll promise with you.
You know what I'm saying? So I understand it. I just think the forum was the wrong place. You know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron asked the reporters that question.
Yeah.
He should have asked that on his own show. He should, if he wanted to really speak out against it, he has the freedom on his show that he produces to get in depth and go into more detail. He did it at a goddamn after a basketball game press conference where the communication was going to be limited on both sides. It wasn't going to be a time to explain it and go into comprehensive conversation anyway. So that was my only thing. I'm okay with the question. I didn't like the setting.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. For him to start the press conference off, you know, with that question was kind of odd because, like you said, hey, usually after a game, the questions are going to be about what happened within the game.
Pretty much.
It doesn't have nothing to do with the NFL, I mean, or whatever else was going on.
Right.
They're going to ask you questions about the game.
Right. Did you win?
Yeah. I think LeBron, when they're with the mindset a little bit, which I can respect a little bit of militancy, you know, to himself saying, you know what? I want to take this pressure off of Kyrie a little bit. I want to try to switch this up and bring it from a different perspective. Now, you remember LeBron is a Jerry Jones fan. I mean, you know, being a Dallas Cowboys fan, for which I think he is.
Yes, he is anymore.
Yes, he is.
How can I put it? Maybe he didn't, you know, I'm pretty sure he probably didn't know nothing about the picture either, but I never heard him say, during that press conference, I will no longer support the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, he did.
Did he say that?
He said that previously. Oh, okay. I'm a Cowboys fan. He said he's no longer a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it's okay because I'm sure somebody got a picture of him somewhere waiting on a prime opportunity to display it as well. See, that's the thing about nowadays. It's only a matter of time before your time come too.
Mm. Hey, bro.
And that's a sad. And that's a sad part.
Yeah.
Like you said, you got to watch everything you do because somebody's going to dig some sort of dirt somewhere.
And it's there.
I tell you what. If I was running for public office, I would go back to the age of three. Say, man, let me think if there's something they can pull up on here because I.
Right.
Telling what they pulled. I mean, maybe they caught me sneaking in my dad's beer one night when I was 4 years old. You don't know what they coming with. And that's why, to some point, especially if you're in the public eye, that social media stuff can be a dagger for you.
True.
I mean, I would advise anybody, if you plan on being on that platform, go back to when you was able to start speaking. Make sure you ain't said nothing wrong. You might get some kind of note from a teacher when you was in first grade. We found this. He said he had his middle finger up. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen.
I know that's right.
Hey, go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, no. I'm just agreeing with what Mark was saying. So, I mean.
And change Kevin's camera angle too, man, if you don't mind. I can't even see his head.
The camera's over there. He's looking at. Oh, that's your camera up on top of that screen. The setup on his third chair has a weird camera angle.
Oh, okay, okay.
Oh.
All I see is the 81. That's all I see.
I love this. Just joining us. Yo, it's the Studio W Sports page. This is your man, Milk, riding shotgun. Me is Kevin Harris, Mr. Romar Smith, WB's here. Online, I got my man, the boxer guru, Mark Daniels, CJ Richardson. And just joining us, we got the return of the Rev. Rev, how you doing, Rev? Brother?
I think you got a little distortion in your thing. Come on in, Rev.
Rev, can you hear me? Can you hear us? Rev got some sound difficulties there.
Thank you, frozen.
So, real quick, and last night in the NBA, the Hornets knocked off the Wizards. The Hawks knocked off the Nuggets. The Heat over the Celtics. The Nets took care of the Raptors. Cleveland took care of Atlanta. I really like Cleveland this year. Surprisingly, the Los Angeles Lakers took care of the Milwaukee Bucks. They went to Milwaukee, won 133-129. Memphis over Philly. The Pelicans over San Antonio. The Rockets over the Phoenix Suns. The Utah Jazz. Somebody forgot to tell them that when you clean house, you're supposed to suck the next season. But Utah Jazz took care of the Pacers, and the Golden State Warriors 119 over the Bulls 111. Guys, what is y'all biggest takeaways for as far as the NBA is concerned?
Biggest takeaway in the NBA, man, it's a long season. There are a lot of teams on the rise. What I see in the face of the NBA is changing. The guy from Milwaukee Bucks, it's a long name. Antetokounmpo.
Giannis.
Yeah, you can call him what you want.
We just trying to make it easy.
Giannis. It's kind of hard to say LeBron. LeBron's not the best player in the NBA anymore. Let's be clear.
No.
He's not. That's my opinion of the NBA right now. And my Lakers are headed nowhere. That's what I got to say about the NBA.
Well, I don't know. I mean, actually, you know what? It's funny you say that, CJ, because matter of fact, we were just talking about this earlier before you came on. They actually improved pretty decently. Because like I said, because now like, they have stepped up quite a bit the last few games. Like last night, for a prime example, AD, as we all know, in his street clothes, he put on a spectacular show. He's been coming back pretty strong, and he's been proving, they're slowly proving doubters wrong, left and right. Yeah, they started out slow, but they're trying to come on now. So they're actually working their way up.
What's their record?
They're 9-12.
Okay, so we'll stop right there.
All right.
You are what your record says you are. Okay.
That's,
what is their defensive efficiency rating? I'm a Laker fan. We suck. Mm. So my point is, you can look decent every other night, fifth night. You can look better. You're supposed to look better.
Yes.
Right. Playing 500 ball with a $600 million roster means nothing. Mm. Okay? So if you got two of the top 10 players in the league, you're supposed to have a winning record. Point blank, period.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, That's true.
However, when you get into a play, who can the Lakers name a team that the Lakers can beat in a playoff series, even though they're looking better? Name one of them young teams that ain't gonna run them down night in, night out. You're playing every other night now in the first couple of rounds.
That's my point.
Yeah. That's a hard one.
Like this. I can see them. They couldn't beat the Sacramento Kings right now in the playoffs.
They don't get no shooters in there. I think they may have made a mistake getting rid of so many of their young core players. I'm a diehard Laker fan myself, and I'm looking at this roster, and I'm still like, man, you know what? I forget who said they only like a game or so from being in a fourth spot. That makes me think the Western Conference must suck. I mean, because they're only a game or so out from being fourth in the West.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah, you can say they suck, or they can say it's, I don't want to say stacked. Maybe I'm using the wrong words here, but it's anybody's game at this point.
Whoa. Well, I put it to you like this.
Stop.
CJ said the magic thing real quick.
How come? Who talking about they in the fourth spot in the West? We're 9-12 and we're the 12th spot in the West.
No, I said they said they're like a couple games out from being in the fourth. Someone brought it up last night. I think I was driving home listening to the radio. They're not that far from being a fourth seed.
We are, man. We're five games back. It's five games. That's a lot of games, and it's like six teams. So you got to play some of those teams. So it sounds, but you got to realize we ain't played but 22 games. You're five games back, right? And another 22, you're 11 games back. So it's really not what it seems to be.
I think somebody got that misconstrued because they are four from the bottom. In the West.
What? Well, I mean, exactly. But like I
they
said,
fall from the bottom.
But in CJ's defense, his first sentence was correct. It's a long season, right? So again, I mean, you're right, CJ. I agree with what you're saying. I mean, like I said, yes, it looks terrible. It can definitely be, you know, there's a lot of cleaning up to do. But like I said, it's a long way to go. It's still plenty.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
All right. When the last time LeBron played a full season?
Ooh. We're gonna do some research on that.
When the last time AD played a full season?
Probably. He's never done.
My case. So my point is, it's a long season.
Yes.
Well, exactly. Like we were talking about earlier, when they were saying Russ was, you know, been playing good coming off the bench. If they ever thought they had some value into maybe trying to get some shooters, making a trade, get some shooters, whatever, I would do it now. Like I said, my opinion with this, they made some horrible moves. And I mean, it's, I don't know how you get out of this mess. I agree with CJ on it.
It cost them a lot.
If they got in the playoffs right now, they probably get bounced in the first round.
Yeah. More than likely, yeah.
You know, they have I don't know how you put together a roster. You have no shooters. That Kendrick Nunn that they picked up last year, he didn't even play last year, that they kept talking about has produced nothing. I mean, that Toscano Anderson, there's a reason why Golden State didn't care about him leaving after they won the title. He didn't even play last night. I mean, God, I don't know, man. It's going to be a long road.
Hey, see, do y'all feel like, how y'all feel about the championship that they won in the bubble? Because they haven't been a good team since that. And they gave up a lot to get LeBron there in L.A.
Well, they
cleared out a lot of space out. They gave up Ingram, Lonzo Ball, all those. They cleared a lot of space for that.
You're seeing the results of that now.
Yeah.
I mean, that you know, the championship is a championship.
Can you respect it, though? Can you really respect that bubble championship?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you.
A ring is a ring.
Yeah, but I will say this. At the level they were playing when they played in that bubble, they had no advantage. Everybody was on the same level as far as there was no home court advantage. There was no nothing. They played.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they won. I mean, there's no way around it because Miami had a good team. Utah had a good team. Denver had a good team. I can't take that away from them. But that following season, things start to fall apart. You losing guys that you no longer have shooters. In my opinion, Rob Pelinka start making some moves that I'm like, okay, what is this dude doing? You know, they could have had DeMar DeRozan. They could have had Buddy Hield. That, you know, they decided to go after Russ. And like I was telling Mill a couple years ago, they were anticipating to getting Kawhi Leonard. And like I said, from people I know, he's from my home out in L.A., know some people. I told William and them two years ago, before free agency started, I said, he's going to the Clippers. He's not going to the Lakers. And the Lakers, it sucks at what he did, because if you remember, CJ, when it came time for free agency, the Lakers sat still waiting on him. And by the time he made up his mind, there was nothing left. I mean, there was nothing. Everybody done signed everywhere. They sat there banking on the fact this dude was coming. When I was told by somebody really close in that family that he was not going, that at that point I said, they're done. By the time free agency opened up, They wouldn't get who? What guys did they go and get out to free agency? Opened up. Hell, I can't. I mean, that's how bad it was. I mean, they said, man, they was trying to get whoever, and I think that is what was the beginning of a demise for them. Is they put all their eggs in the basket, thinking they were going to get Kawhi Leonard, and it totally disintegrated on them.
All right, here's the deal. A lifelong Lakers fan. It was a good move to bring in LeBron, a healthy LeBron. Let's start there.
Yeah.
It was a good move when we brought in AD, expecting he would stay healthy. Because when they're both healthy, Lakers are a formidable team. But what happened along the way, as you guys see, neither one can stay healthy anymore. Father Time is caught up with LeBron, and AD is just fragile as they come. So what happens is when you put all your eggs in them two baskets and neither one is producing, it leaves you with role players because you got to stock your team with role players. And that's where the Lakers get beat. When LeBron is healthy and dominant and bringing the ball up and he has AD in the paint and shooting threes and is on his game, and really all you need is one swing player to come up with them and help them out a little bit, some average three-point shooting, which we can't get. And everybody else just toting the ball and looking for LeBron or either AD in the post. And we can't even find that right now. So LeBron wants to come in, him and Pelinka, and they want to set the roster. They want to handpick the guys that they bring in. And that sets your fate right there. When a player has more power than the GM, it's always going to be a problem, you know. And LeBron has brought this with him his entire career. He's front-loaded, heavy-loaded teams. And it's a all or nothing type scenario. We got the all with the bubble chip. The chip is a chip. It doesn't matter how you get one, because if any other team would have won one, they would have had a parade too. And you know, after LeBron leaves the teams, look at his history. Every team he's left, the next year, boom, right to the bottom. You know what I'm saying? So he's still on the Lakers, but he's not healthy. Right back to the bottom. That's just where we are right now.
Okay, guys.
I agree.
Okay, guys, we up against it. This is Studio W Sports Page. It's your boy Mill, Ryan Chaco, me, Kevin Harris, Mr. Romar Smith. WB's around here somewhere. He need to come back to the studio because we about to get into these NFL picks. CJ on the line. I got Mr. Mark Daniels on the line. Hopefully we have the Rev back, but we got to talk some football now. We got to talk about some football. Thursday. Buffalo Bills took care of business, went up to New England in Foxborough. I saw that game. Real impressed by the Bills, but I did see a couple of kinks in the armor. But they took care of the Patriots 24-10. I don't really like Thursday night football, guys. I really don't. Somebody's not going to bring their A game. And it makes up for a lot of sloppy play. Now, what do you guys think?
I disagree with you. And the reason I'm going to disagree with you because, they're professionals, and good teams play well on Thursdays. Bad teams suck Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. What we've had this year was a lot of bad teams playing on Thursdays. If you really look into the schedule, when good teams hook up, 4-day rest, 5-day rest, they play good football. Just like this past Thanksgiving Day, we had some good football. Detroit looked good on Thanksgiving Day.
Yes, they did.
You know, so we can't just say that. You got to look at the matchups in the teams. The Redskins going to look bad on Thursday, just like Sunday. My opinion.
That's all. That's good.
But I understand that, you know, they're not as prepared, you know, but, you know, we know ultimately the referees decide how sloppy the game going to be anyway. Keep on pulling that yellow thing out of their pocket.
Yeah, we know how that goes.
I agree with you. The only thing I would say on that is the only pushback I give on that would be when you just got done playing a game on Sunday and you got to turn around and play what, 4 or 5 days later. From what I've heard in the past, for some cats, some of them like, man, I can't even get out of bed till Tuesday or Wednesday. And so I don't think, how can I put it? I believe they're in some cases, you're getting all the effort for some of the players that may be a little older, whatever. It's rough. But like you said, Thanksgiving, one of the best Thanksgiving Day games, I mean, for a set of games that day, I've seen in a long time. But I do think that playing from, you know, playing on a Sunday going to that Thursday, it can be rough. And for a while, I thought Amazon was getting ripped off because for about the first 4 or 5 games that was on Thursday night, it was some of the worst.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Yo,
Rev, Young. Rev still having some technical difficulties. We're gonna go ahead and keep this thing moving. All right, so this Sunday coming up, I'm gonna go ahead and get this out of the way. This Sunday, the Tennessee Titans is coming to Philadelphia. And they're going to be leaving Philadelphia with that L. Now, I get it. Our run defense as of late has been terrible. Yes, it has. But we got some guys coming back. Big Jordan Davis is coming back. And I said when he went out, that was a key to our run defense. Was when he's in the game, guys average less than 3 yards a carry. When he is out the game, that's when they go off. So he'll be back this Sunday. So I hope we can shore that thing up. And AJ Brown, he's facing his former team. He has already declared war on him. Now, the Tennessee Titans, they do have one of the best run defenses in the league. So that's going to be a good matchup for Jalen Hurts because he's going to have to sit back and throw the ball. But they also have one of the worst pass defenses in the league. And they got and Jalen Hurts been on the money with the target. So we're going to see how well this go. We're going to see how well this goes. But I got my boys with the W. What do you guys got? Rev, can you hear me? You got to speak up a little bit more. Nah, you still muffled. We still can't get the sound together. All right. That was it.
Say something again.
Got me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Man, this. Whoo, Lord Jesus, I've been trying to get up. Good God Almighty. Sorry.
Well, I'm happy that you made it, brother. I have missed you. I've been praying for you and you've been on my heart for a while now, so I'm glad to see you here. Man, how have you been, brother?
I've been all right, man. For the people that don't know, man, a couple of months ago I lost my mother. Last week I lost my grandmother. So the family, we've been kind of going through it. But hey, man, they didn't raise me to be no punk. So we here being strong, we here loving, and we here trying to show love to everybody, man. Doing everything I can to honor who they were and who they are in my life.
Right. Amen.
That's what's up.
My family to yours.
Yes, my brother. Hey, so Eagles versus the Titans. I'm gonna give you the flow first, Rhea.
I'm taking the Titans, man. I'm taking them on here. I might not take them on my Kev Harris picks. I'm taking the Titans. The Eagles have one big problem that's been showing up ever since week one. They have a hard time stopping the run, and we know what the Titans bring on that run. We know what they bring. So, do they really want to hit that big boy? Is Jordan Davis back this week, man?
He will be back this Sunday. He will be back. He is back in the lineup. And he's also lost 20 pounds. He's been conditioning. He had a high ankle sprain, been on the IR, and they've been working on his conditioning the whole time. So all that's going to come into play. I don't expect him to play much. He's only like a two down lineman. You know, he plays a couple of downs and he's out. But when he's in the game, running backs, I don't care who it is, has averaged less than 3 yards a carry. And we need that this Sunday.
So, did he play against Detroit the first week of the season?
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay. Because Detroit almost upset y'all that first week of the season when he was in the game.
No, every time they went off, Jordan Davis was not in the game. He was.
So that means he coming off the field.
Yeah.
So if I know that as a scouting report, hey, let's throw it when he in the game. Because you know he ain't going to get to the quarterback. But, hey, on third downs, I average 6 yards a carry without him in the game. We can run it on third down, too.
You trust your boy Tannehill throwing the ball against Darius Slay and James Bradbury?
Did I ever in my life say that I trust him? have I ever? You the one that said Tannehill was on another level 2 years ago, and I told you he is fool's gold. He is the pot of gold on the Lucky Charms box. It looked good, but it ain't gonna be a good fight.
I thought 3 years ago, but anyway,
I'm trusting Tannehill Sunday too. I'm trusting him.
Yes, sir. I fully expect that, CJ.
You should expect that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all ain't beat no winning team this year.
Oh, yes, we have.
Who was it?
The Minnesota Vikings.
Man, we trashed the Vikings. I mean, who is that? They're just good by record. Okay, who else you beat with a winning record?
Not too many folks. But let me ask you this. All right, since you want to go there, CJ.
I'm picking the Tennessee Titans Eagles game right now.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's going to be a pretty good game, man. I think slowly but surely, though, the Eagles, that momentum has shifted some from you guys. And that's just my professional football point of view. You guys were riding high. It's that point in the year where the best teams don't always win right now. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The best teams don't always win. And you have built a resume where you kind of got a target on your back. You feel me?
Yeah, that's what you do when you win.
When people, that's what I'm saying. So I'm giving you a little bit of credit, but if you let me.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, so the Eagles are looked at as one of the better teams in the league right now. So when Tennessee comes in, it's not like they're going to overlook you guys. You know what I'm saying? It might be opposite. Y'all might overlook them because they're ganging and you're flying high and you're doing all that shit. And then King Henry get there and you see what 240, 50, 60 pounds look like. You know, 36 times. And then late in the third, somebody be like, you know what?
Business decision.
We already got a two-game lead in the division. I want to play some division games. I ain't tackling this fool.
We win this game. We's in the playoff. This is a playoff berth. Yo, Mark.
Y'all in the playoffs regardless.
Exactly.
You guys are mainly trying to number one seed that thing. That's what you're really holding down. So but I do think the Titans will come in motivated, and it's going to come down to Ryan Tannehill. Cause Tannehill has the ability to take over the game, but he also has the ability to throw you three pick sixes in the same quarter. Mm-hmm. So we got to figure out which Ryan Tannehill going to show up.
Yeah, we're going
to
see.
If the wrong one show up, that thing going to be 50-3.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it might be 50-3 depending on which way it goes.
Yeah, but if they can establish a running game, I look for a close game, man. And it's going to come down to the fourth quarter, last couple possessions. And I got like a 27-24 game. Who kicks that last field goal? I don't know. Somebody got to win it.
Yo, Mark, who you got?
I don't go with Philly because I don't trust Tannehill. He's going to do something. To mess it. I mean, like my man said, if he on fire, tough to beat. But you know what? I'm trying to think who he's going to be able to throw to. I got Philly in that game.
Hey, let me ask y'all, what big game has Ryan Tannehill ever showed up in?
I don't know. He might have showed up in one of Texas A&M. I don't know.
He'll play wide receiver then.
I don't really consider this a big game either. It's just another regular season game. I think Tennessee going to be all right regardless. You know, this is one of those wear and tear games lingering that you want to win midpoint of the season. You know, it's not like an if or must game. Not a lot of pressure on either squad, for real. This is more for bragging rights. You know, we beat somebody. You know what I'm saying? But it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game.
Yo, Roman, who you got? Okay. That's it, Tennessee?
My reason is because you got a lot of wear and tear to deal with Derrick Henry running that ball. And if you get in third and short, got a chance of a good Tannehill playing. Take a lot of pressure off him in third and short downs. But they take a piece from what we did a couple of weeks ago. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Speaking of, I'm glad you brought that up.